Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Oxnard, California, here for Cowboys Training Camp 2025. Coverage is brought to you by the on-time experts, Rhino Shield and Yardbird, Southern Table and Bar. There's a lot of Cowboys to talk about. There's some Ranger stuff, very interesting, that we're going to get to right here, though. General, at your service, salute to you. Thanks for making us part of your day. You got Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboy scout, the Super Bowl champion. Hardest working man in Oxnard, no doubt about it. You do have Lucius Alexander back home in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh, fixing to go 5 hours flawless once again. Woolchuck and Chia follower here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. Tim Collins, remote engineering and producing here as our camp coverage continues. And what a final hour last night. To go from curious about Tyler Guyton to the report they feared a torn ACL to Brian Broaddus dropping the knowledge bomb shortly after the show that he's going to be okay. So, I mean, it was in the process of casting a dark cloud over this practice facility. You know, you saw the look on media members' faces. It's like, oh, crap, where does it go from here? So just a tremendous sigh of relief that he's only going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and there's a lot to unpack inside that. But we're about 48 hours from baseball trade craziness. And Buster only tweeting this afternoon about your Texas Rangers, saying rival executives are reporting the Rangers are aggressively looking to upgrade their bullpen before the trade market expires. Obviously, there's quite a bit going on here and a lot of MLB trade deadline buzz. I saw a separate report earlier. They're looking at Pirates closer David Bednar, who's been one of the best closers in baseball over the last 5 years, but struggled last year. I don't know what happened last year, Woolchuck. His numbers, all of a sudden, he started to look bad. Like, you wouldn't even want him in any game. But this year, he's back to a 2.37, and he's striking out one out of every three guys he faces. It's insane.
Yeah, and I think that's a name that they've been interested in for the last couple of years at the deadline. We've also thrown out Ryan Helsley of the Cardinals, and they've got a history of making some deals with St. Louis, both Bednar and Helsley, two-time All-Star closers. So I think those are two names right now that are gaining a lot of steam in connection to the Texas Rangers. Maybe we get a deal done sooner than later.
Yes, and it's getting exciting because, you know, from what I can tell here, they have a number of prospects not named Sebastian Wolcott that are of interest.
Yeah, this is I reached out to my buddy who's a general manager for one of the teams, and I asked him, I said, is my team doing anything? And he said, yeah, they're chasing relievers, but they don't have the farm system to get the higher-end guys, ooh, and they won't give up Wolcott for a pin arm. I said, well, what about the Pirates and Cardinal relievers? He said, Bednar is going to be very pricey. Teams will have big offers. Helsley, he will net a good prospect as well. Heard they are pretty engaged on him right now.
Okay, that's interesting. Maybe it's a little bit sobering relative to Bednar. I don't know if giving up Wolcott for Bednar would be the move, or if they could get talked into it. But from what I understand in Pittsburgh, they want position player prospects, and the catchers are short on the Rangers are short on that. They have Wolcott, then the catcher Malcolm Moore, who's still an A-ball. Their pitchers Rosario, Santos, and Drake, I think, are your 3, 4, 5 right now, depending on the prospects you're looking at. Then you have Castillo, the shortstop, at 6. He's in rookie ball, and Dylan Dreiling at 10. But 6 of their top 10 prospects are pitchers. So maybe they got to deal with somebody that wants, you know, young pitchers instead of young position players, or maybe they can, you know, talk the Pirates into something like this. All I know is CY, my guy, will not rest, and he will find a good solution if Bednar and Helsley aren't in the cards. He'll make something else happen.
Yeah, because Helsley, you know, he's a free agent after this year, so this is a rental piece. Now, the issue is you got the Yankees that are also in conversations here. Dodgers and Mets have also been connected to him in some capacity. The Blue Jays are being really aggressive right now to also go for a bullpen arm. So, like, Ryan Helsley is kind of the name that's made the most sense to me that I think the Rangers realistically could get, because I think that the price is affordable for him. And I felt at the time the trade assets that you give up wouldn't be overwhelming because it is for a rental. But that's the damn problem now when you got the Yankees, the Blue Jays. Like, now all of a sudden do you start to get into a bidding war? Who's got the better farm system? What does St. Louis want to do? I do feel confident that both front offices have a good working relationship with one another. But I think at this point, Ryan Helsley is the guy that I'd be most interested in from a Rangers fan perspective that I think is a realistic option.
So we're live at training camp here in Oxnard, but we're going to be all over this, you know, just monitoring the wires, looking for breaking news, and if anything happens here over the next three broadcast afternoons, we'll break in with it live for you. I think we're going to get the coordinators on the podium at 3 o'clock today. And that would be awesome. Clayton Adams, Matt Eberflus, there's just so much to talk about and update us on. Now that they're a week and a half into training camp, you will have Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40 and at 5:20. More broadcast brought to you by Treeline by Hillwood, a stunning new master plan community in Justin, Texas. I guess the big story in the NFL last night, the guy who was the active shooter that we were getting more details on as we were walking out to the parking lot and then monitoring throughout the evening into the morning, it's believed he's blaming the league for CTE. He played high school football 20 yeah. years ago, and he's, like, confused and mentally ill, I think.
Yeah, evidently, from just looking at the notes of the story, he is from Las Vegas, Nevada. He evidently drove across the country in his BMW. To New York and came out of they've got him, the photos of him coming out of the car, you know, navy blazer and all that, shirt and heading for and with the rifle in hand. And they found a note on him talking about, now he was not a NFL player nor a college player, but a high school player there in Nevada. And, you know, the coaches in Nevada are feeling really sad because they're like, could we have done more to reach this kid? Could we have done, you know, did, but they said he was a quiet kid. He did everything. He worked hard. There were no real issues there, but he's blaming the NFL for not disclosing the dangers of playing football. And so that seems to be what the whole crux of this shooting is.
And covering up the CTE investigation from 10, 15 exactly. years ago. I could see the logic flowing there
exactly.
a little bit. I wouldn't have a problem like doing a deep dive on football and, hey, is this a cautionary tale? I think, you know, a lot of people continue to play the game and accept the risks. And, you know, I think there's risks in a lot of stuff. And I don't think the NFL, you know, hands are totally clean on this subject. But man, you take a gun into a place of business like that, and it, you know, it's another active shooter situation, and here it comes right to the NFL's front door, literally.
Yeah. And I was talking with our buddy Chris Beam of the Cowboys, and he was saying he knows one of the ladies that works in that building for the NFL, and he was saying that her and her sort of team or whatever had already left the office just shortly before everything went down, but all the people that were in there, They were still in that building until like midnight last night.
Because
they basically started from the top and were like clearing all the floors, and there were like dead bodies in the lobby, and so they were trying to like get all that handled. So all the people that were like barricading themselves with the furniture, I don't know if you guys saw any of those photos, but it was pretty horrifying. Like, they're just throwing all sorts of furniture and desks and chairs and couches in front of the doors to block themselves in, but they weren't even able to get out of there until like midnight, just sitting there. What a horrifying feeling.
Yeah, and until they got the all clear,
yeah,
because they didn't know what had happened with the guy. Well, hopefully we don't have to do any more of those stories for a while, but unfortunately, you know, it probably won't be that long before we have another one to talk about. Okay, it's been a count your blessings week two here at Cowboys training camp, but the injuries are starting to pile up. And Chief and I were just talking on the ride over here. Do you think Shoddy's going to come under fire here for asking for more GPS numbers?
No, absolutely not. This is, to me, this is, they're really, the football gods honestly have smiled on him because a couple of injuries that could have been really horrific, they got away with. And, you know, that's the deal with Span Ford and then with Guyton. But no, this team, it needs an element of toughness to it. It needs an element of some physicality. It is going to be a difficult season. They have got to find a way to be able to match up toe to toe with these teams, you know, like the Lions and others that play that brand of football. Philadelphia, there's teams that are going to challenge them this year, and they need to just keep going. His practices, he's very mindful of the time, he's very understanding of not going over, and I think his drills and stuff, it's about team periods, it's not about one-on-one stuff and things like that we've seen. He just needs to keep practicing the way he has, because I think he's, I think his team's starting to buy into that that element that they need to play at and that level they need to play at. So no, just keep pushing on this.
Yeah, it's kind of the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a soft team, I mean, obviously they're football players, because relative to the rest of us, they're not soft at all. But relative to their peers, they have not been physical enough. Right. You're installing a new offense. Yes. You know, I think that's the unfortunate reality. Maybe if you have a veteran team that's very physical and you know they're going to go execute the game plan because they've been running the same offense for 4 years, I would give a lot of veteran days off right now. But right now, I just think, again, you count your blessings that it hasn't been to a star player or really, you know, you haven't lost a starter. So I think that is there. If this would continue over the next couple of off seasons, like, is this what Mike McCarthy was thinking, right? And wait for Mike McCarthy to do an off season interview and talk about the Cowboys and say, yeah, that's why I made sure the GPS numbers were down, because it doesn't matter, you know, how precise you are on week one if you have a half dozen key injuries.
Yeah, but you also have, like, despite that, it's like Dak and Lamb and Parsons all hurt last year. Right, missing some amount of time. Dak, obviously the season ender, but like it's just the nature of the sport that you play, and there's a lot of just sort of luck involved when teams are able to have a healthy run. We always talk about battle of attrition, like, and we're seeing left and right. It's just somebody in another training camp went down.
Well,
everywhere it's happening.
The thing that's what's happened with them, and they're trying to practice with some pace. And all of a sudden, you have guys trying to block, and you know, Hunter Lipke gets thrown into the back of someone's legs, or then, you know, someone gets knocked down and he's in the back of somebody's legs, and that's stuff you just can't avoid. I mean, that's going to be the way practices are. I would rather practice the way they are right now than what Mike McCarthy did.
I
trust me, I'm a chicken when it comes to certain positions and don't put that guy back there kind of thing. I've been adamant about that. But this guy needs to build accountability and credibility with his team. He needs that. And so whatever he does to, you know, he can't go out there and talk the talk about being tough and then go out there and have Mike McCarthy practices. Can't do that. He's got to build. Everything he's building right now is really a big picture thing. And I've said it before, if it's a 9-8 season, it gives him credibility for the next year. He's got to keep maintain the way that they're going to practice. Don't practice soft to start and then try and be a tough team at the end of it.
Right? Yeah.
Start tough and finish tough.
100%, dude. I have some sound that we'll play at 5 o'clock during Football's Finest. Jimmy Johnson was on the radio in Miami, and he was talking about just how to build a culture. And it's right up this sort of alley.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's the way you practice.
No,
like, you can say all these different things that you want, but it's what he did on the practice field and how hard that those teams worked that he was able to establish the culture that he wanted.
That's what he's got to do. You cannot. He talked about running the football, and he's tried to run the football. He's tried to make his team tougher that way, and even playing the run. They've played the run some of the snaps. They've defense has played the run better. So, yeah, it's a two-way street here. He just needs to keep pushing on.
Could you disengage earlier? I mean, I totally get what you guys are saying, and I think it's notable the last two dynasties, Belichick and Reed, have had the hardest practices in the NFL. So there's some gold to be harvested here, but a lot of the offensive line injuries are coming when four or five guys are bunched up, one gets tumped over, and there's somebody behind them.
Yeah, you're going to get rolled up on. I mean, I think it's unavoidable. I just think that's part of football. And you have a limited amount of practices now than you even did back when Jimmy's talking about, you know, with the new CBA, and hey, we've got, what, 4 days on, then you got an off day. You've got a certain amount of padded practices you're allotted to. So you got to get good work in. And hey, it might give him credit when he was here for the three straight 12-win seasons. They were one of the healthier teams in the league. It's not like they didn't have any injuries. But like Bobby brought up, okay, and it's rare that he's given Mike any credit, but nine injuries through the first six practices the last 3 years. They've had nine injuries through the first six practices here. I just think, you know, that's part of the game. And to me, I'm all about what Shoddy's doing. I'm not going to overreact to that. It could happen in a walkthrough. Hell, we've seen people get hurt through stuff like that. Diggs' injury 2 years ago was in a practice where it was a fluky, weird injury. Lands wrong, right? It can happen at any point. So to me, I love what they're doing out here, because when they get into the postseason, what's been one of the big calling cards, when they're going up against teams that we believe are as good, if not better, they're getting out physical.
Yeah.
And to me, this implementing this is going to help change that type of culture from Shoddy, to your point, Brian.
Alrighty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. A massive day in sports. There's Arch Manning talk. There's the baseball deadline. There's tons of stories around football. And the great news is we have a full five-hour show for you today before Fred and Blake will take over tonight, coming up at 7 o'clock. Okay, we have the G-Bag of the Day champion on the other side. We're about an hour from Stephen Jones sitting down with us. I don't know, maybe they're looking at bringing in some more veterans with all these injuries. Kalen Carson was the one last night. If you missed that, 4 to 6 weeks, he'll be out for. Woolchucks, what the top 10 looking like today?
All right, we're here at training camp. Let's do the top 10 Cowboys camp moments of all time. What's one that stands out to you? That's next in the Nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get pay when you win. It's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's time now to go back into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has the champ.
Mic check. All right, G, back of the day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 530. Replay the champ right about here. You caught it, fam. You got lucky. You caught it. You should go get you a scratch-off lottery ticket today with your luck. If you see anything floating out there, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. This is day two for this champion audio sound boy. My man Brian brought us one in a vote-off with the fans.
How about that?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Yeah, they love you, Broadus. They love you up there, man.
How about that?
They like me. You really like me.
Man, Lucius, I think these guys are kind of feeling good about me right now.
Yeah, I see that, man.
Elites.
Yeah, Brian Broadus was glazing hip-hop in Dallas D. He had a question for Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens. And,
I was going to ask you because I was a scout in the NFL for 13 years, and I've never seen anybody track the ball better than you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that goes back to your days at Georgia. And I'm watching. Yeah. We all watch tape of you, and I'm like going, there's nobody that tracks the ball like this guy, and I've seen the great ones. How do you pick that up? Because I can say I'm watching you. I'm like, when he's seeing this ball right off the hand.
Yeah.
So when does it like? I mean, you never lose track of it. No. Everybody else is losing track, but you.
Because the key to it is looking up.
Look up.
There you go.
There it is.
Hard-hitting question. Okay. Always look up.
Okay.
Look up.
It was crazy through that whole question and answer how many things he talked about that he's noticing. Right?
Yeah.
It reminded me of like Dennis Rodman talking about rebounding.
Yeah.
You know, just the way, the angle, the trajectory, and then sort of knowing where it's going to bounce or how its properties are going to change its flight. And I don't know if everybody can do that, because it's one thing to be able to notice and understand the physics of it, but it's another to do it, as Brian said, while you're fully sprinting.
Yeah.
And a 6 foot, 200 pound guy is trying to wrestle with you.
Brought us a fully sprinting right there during that question. If you couldn't. Pickens was trying to play D. Like, let me get in there, bro.
I was trying to make our guests feel good about visiting with us, but he's a hell of a player.
No, I counted five yes.
Uh-huh.
And then he thought he had a spot to jump in there and answer your question with a good And then it was two more years after that. Then finally said, all right, I got you.
He must have heard the Jared Sandler question. He understands the timing of a broadest cue.
I was excited to get to visit with him. He's a good player.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really fun to chat with him, get to know him a little bit, and looking forward. I mean, the play of the day yesterday was a George Pickens special.
Yeah.
Had no problem securing that catch and running away from two guys for the TD.
Yeah, Lucius, what I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to just dominate this when we go to the five-time tournament. I'm trying to be every category.
The broadest category.
Yeah, well, Lucius goes, well, this one came from broadest. Remember glazing him at Pickens at camp, you know? And I'm like,
dude,
I got a chance in this one, and I got a chance
and
on this
April,
one.
And for April, broadest did this. Now let's go to March when broadest was in his bag.
A G-Bag of the Day run unlike anything we've ever seen, okay?
There we go.
Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. Time now for Woolchuck's Top 10. Here's the Wooly Bully.
Happy National Chicken Wing Day.
Woo!
And happy National Lasagna Day. Put a
even
poll
better,
out for the people. But they want Cowboys training camp moments, and we will give the people what they want. Top 10 Cowboys camp moments of all time, 877-881-1053. How about a former Cowboy? Lance Trey Lance going to be starting tomorrow night in the Hall of Fame game, or Thursday night, I should say, because it's Tuesday.
I thought you were going to go with Lance Dunbar there for a second.
North Texas Mean Green Comet.
Man, he had a couple games. Yeah, if he could have just stayed healthy.
I think he had one game against the Giants. He had like 10 catches.
Yeah.
He was, Lance had a little something there.
PPR machine that game.
He was. But yeah, Trey Lance will get the start for the Chargers as they play the Lions in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. Already at our first game of the season. And some Rangers news for you. How about Josh Hamilton? Club announced today that former Rangers outfielder Josh Hamilton's going to be presented with his Rangers Hall of Fame jacket in an on-field ceremony prior to the Rangers game against the Phillies Saturday, August 9th. So if you
it's coming up.
Go get tickets for that one. August 9th, Saturday game. It's a 6:15 game. So prior to that, Josh Hamilton will be honored to get his Rangers Hall of Fame jacket.
Ooh. Can I just ask you, what are we doing with all these young quarterbacks? Like, there's veterans who have played that aren't working anymore. You know, what are you trying to do with like Tyler Shuck? I mean, his practice stuff is just an embarrassment. Jackson Dart. I mean, how much do you need to see where you're like, wow, this guy really can't play? And yes, you need some young guys to like bet on their potential of breaking out. But there's minor leagues for them to go do that in now. Like, if I need a quarterback, I'm looking at, okay, where's Kirk Cousins and where's Jameis Winston? Okay, I got a backup and a starter, and we can win games with either one. And when I'm in the top 10 of a draft and a guy sitting there like a Manning or Sellers or the guy at Florida, that's the guy we're going to draft. If it's not that guy, there's veterans out there that, you know, make half of market value and can give you stable play at the position. We don't need to dork around with the with all these young guys,
bro.
Coaches feel like they could fix them. They're the ones that could fix them. That really what it is. Personal guys will bring them up and like, yeah, one time, you know. But coaches always believe they could be the ones that fix the quarterback. And there'll be people like, you know, along the way. What did you think initially of Baker Mayfield coming out?
Oh, he struggled.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Finished his rookie year decently, but yeah.
Smith would
yeah,
be
I mean,
one.
These guys, all of a sudden, they go from one terrible situation to one where a coach might work with them or unlock something. Every coach believes that they could get Trey Lance to play better.
Which kind of goes to my point, you know, because you can pull those busts and give them a shot.
Yeah.
You know, and Baker Mayfield had played well for probably a season and a half, maybe 15 games worth of his Cleveland time, and the rest was a dumpster fire, so they moved on, which I think proves Brian's point that he just needed a different situation.
Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys just do need a different coach, different somebody to work with, somebody just to believe in them. That helps.
Yeah, the Shuck thing, though, is just, I mean, it was the weirdest thing in the entire draft to me. It's like the dude's played in college 7 years. He's been healthy once, and I think they went 8-4. And he's 6'5". He's the prototype of what all these people look for. But the bottom line is, like, the dude's not any good. The decision-making's bad. Does he throw a pretty football? Sure. Does he check all the physical boxes? But can the guy play, and can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
You got a pretty large sample size to say, no, he can't.
I just saw the clip that you were referencing, Dawson, where they're doing 7-on-7. There's no pass rush. And he's holding it, and then he starts scrambling out of the pocket, and then he just eats it and just steps out of bounds.
Unreal.
There's no pass rush. He's evading no one in the pocket.
It's just bad. But, yeah, I hope Dart's awful, too, now that he's playing with the Giants. And then maybe he goes somewhere else in the AFC where we don't care, and he ends up being great. You know, don't want the guys to stink and have their careers ruined, but when you're in the division – I hope you suck. All right, let's get to the top 10 Cowboys moments in training camp history, 877-881-1053. A lot of people texting in Jimmy Johnson, the asthma field. I mean, that's a legendary one. The Michael Irvin haircut situation that's been making the rounds lately.
Iconic.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one.
I'm going to go with, I want me some glory hole. Set it right over there.
Set it right behind us.
Probably 2012, 2011 maybe.
Man,
13.
I think I was working at DallasCowboys.com. So, yeah, that was right before I came on board with you guys here. But, yeah, that was quite a statement. Rich Dalrymple tried to save him, and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm in the oil business. I know, you know.
It's an oil term.
Rich is like trying to make it sound, and Jerry's like, I've never heard that.
Yeah, double down on it.
Yeah.
Switzer versus Dale Hansen.
That was out on the practice field. That was at a nighttime when the coaches used to go down and do – all the TV, the different stations, CBS, ABC, NBC, they used to, and Switzer, Dale was, Switcher was like punching on Dale. I mean, like slapping him.
Man. Oh, the live TV thing.
Yeah, live TV.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you one that I think I was involved with. I don't know if it's on this list. Is when we cut Quincy Carter.
Oh, that's gonna be high on the list.
Is it? Is it really?
Very high.
Okay, that was something that was pretty wild that day. When you get to it, I'll be happy to.
Might be numero uno on the list.
Oh, is it number one?
Might be.
Okay. That reminds me of when Cole Beasley went home.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
And then he ended up having a tremendous career, but it is wild. Like, how often is it, are teams even just going to welcome a guy back like that?
I'll tell you what, Jason Witten told me, he's like, listen, if the guy wants to leave, let him leave.
Yeah.
Let's not kiss his ass and bring him back. You know, Witten was pretty adamant about that. Witten was all about, you know, if you want to be here, you're here. If you're not, go away. We don't need you around here. I remember talking to him about that, and he's like, what are we doing? Why are we kissing this guy's ass? You know, if he doesn't want to be here, let's move on.
Yeah, and that made sense to me as well. You know,
but he turned out to be a great player.
Oh,
so
he did. He was
maybe
awesome.
Maybe they knew what they were doing in there.
Right. Yeah. They were like, yeah, you might have a point there, but we think this kid might be special. Yeah. Undrafted, right?
Yeah, out of SMU.
And his dad's a great coach, so he just wanted to go home and talk to his dad and get a confidence reset. I mean, maybe I would have done that over text.
Get a pep talk. 1969 quarterback competitions, honorable mention.
Was that Craig Morton and Roger Staubach?
Sure was, after Dandy Don surprisingly retired.
Yeah.
Other honorable mention, you've got Bullet Bob Hayes in 1970. Held out of camp. He demanded $40,000 per year. Cowboys' response was they signed a Canadian football leaguer, Margene Adkins.
Yeah.
What a name, Margene.
Yeah.
That's unique.
You know what they used to do? Like, you ever heard the story? There was a guy, a famous Packer player named Jim Ringo. And Jim Ringo went into Lombardi and said, hey, I want a contract extension and all that. And then Lombardi looked at him and goes, yeah, okay, hold on just a second. And Ringo's sitting on the other side of the table. Lombardi comes back in and goes, hey, I just traded you to Philadelphia, so you can go talk to them about the contract.
Wow.
He traded him while he was sitting on the other side of the table. That's when they used to be like, Jim Ringo just asking for a little bit of a raise, and Lombardi traded him like while he was sitting there waiting on him.
That is some cutthroat. That's a legendary story.
Yeah, you need to talk to them about a contract.
Wow. Yeah. Number 10 is Nnamdi Asomugha in 2011.
That was crazy. Ooh. We were in San Antonio, and I'll never forget because I was upstairs in the press box, and we all had our eyes on. They were passing the phone around on the sidelines.
Yeah, like Steven went up to Rob Ryan and told him, we just signed Nnamdi Asomugha.
It was, but I was Mike Lombardi was in with the Raiders, and I was on the phone with Mike, and I'm like, Mike, they're telling us that, and he goes, no, we're sending him to Philadelphia. Like, I'm like, tell him, it was like similar to what yesterday.
Crazy.
Sources and stuff like that. And Lombardi's telling me, no, we're going to send him to Philadelphia. He's going to Philadelphia. He ain't going with you guys.
Yep. Minutes later, during a live interview on 105.3 The Fan, news broke of Asomugha signing with the Eagles.
Yeah.
That was the Vince Young super team comment. Yeah. That was a bad year for the Eagles.
Yeah, it was.
It was brutal. Abby was being born that week, actually, so I was not with the show doing training camp, and I remember getting the updates on text or Twitter or whatever. Yeah. I thought it was a done deal.
Were you guys, did you just do radio across the field on the other side of the
field?
Yeah,
up in the stands.
So like we were on one side and you guys were way over on the other side, and I was like, you got it set up in the middle there.
Yeah.
I remember that. Okay.
Yeah, that was a good setup, and I just remember the excitement of getting Asomugha. Like, we'd been talking about it for 2 or 3 months on the show like it's a dream. And I think that's the last time that the Cowboys have been rumored for a big free agent, isn't it? 14 years ago?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right, swinging and missing on that.
But I think rage broke in with their coverage and the afternoon drive that it was happening, you know, and everybody believed that it was.
Crazy. Yeah. 9 is T.O. versus Tuna in 2006. Bill Parcells would not refer to T.O. by name.
The player.
Instead, he just called him, the player.
The player.
The Bad News Boys in 97, Nate Newton was accused of something not so good. Eric Williams was served with a paternity suit. Mm. And Leon Lett was suspended 13 games for failing a drug test. So that was a lot of drama.
97?
Yeah.
Wow.
They also left dorm rooms with extensive damage, water damage.
St. Ed's in Austin, right?
Yeah. And then they moved to Wichita Falls. I guess they said, like, sorry, you're not coming back here.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That was the best dodge ever if you never had to cover Wichita Falls. I count my blessings on that one.
The reason the Wichita Falls camp is the reason why we're here today. That was Jerry. That's when Jerry told us on the tower, he goes, this is madness. We're going to have somebody die He goes, we're going to have a player die out here. We can't have that happen.
And that was probably around the time that the Corey Stringer thing happened, right?
Right about the same time. Right about the same time.
Seven is the Dwayne Thomas trade.
San Diego?
They initially traded him to New England.
Yeah.
And then New England immediately sent him back. And they voided the trade because of his attitude.
Oh, okay.
They were like, okay, we don't want you. He ended up having 11 rushing touchdowns for the Cowboys that year. But then, they traded him again.
Yeah.
Dez in 2010, he did not want to hold those pads.
Oh, yeah, shoulder pad gate.
Yep. You're not making me do that.
Roy Williams get him on that one?
Yeah, he'll learn the hard way, said Roy Williams. Five is Emmett holding out.
Is that shortly thereafter they went to the $90,000 dinner?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to carry the pads, but...
Probably should have carried the pads. I mean, Jerry bailed him out of that one, but still, my gosh.
Didn't Dez have a... Wasn't it him and Wilcox with a nice little fight?
And Tyler Pavin.
J.J. Wilcox hit him three times in the face before Dez even had a chance to react. I've never seen hands... I think I got a picture of it in my phone. He hit him... Like, Wilcox had his helmet off and hit him three times before Dez even reacted. They hit him that fast. I watched it on film, night, I was going back and forth like, my God, I think I have a picture of my phone. I'll show you.
It's amazing.
When I get to it,
There's another great fight I was watching last night. It's crazy you brought this up. Tyler Patman. The helmets pop off, and Patman two-pieces him, and Dez just eats it and just keeps coming and then is throwing haymakers. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the strategy for DBs fighting Dez was you got to hit him early and back up because he's not going to stop coming.
Well, he's
Tyler
long.
Patman, I forgot him. Long. He looked like a kind of a featherweight boxer.
Yeah.
But tall, lean, skinny.
Four, you nailed it, Dawson, with the glory hole comment.
Mm.
Three was the player cuts with Everett McIver and Michael Irvin.
Jerry was on one that summer. That was a day after he said, I want you to come on out to AT and watch us kick the New York Giants' ass.
That's right.
Yeah, I think the Giants had just won it or something.
I think you're 2012, so it was, after their second Super Bowl. Number two, best Cowboys camp moments ever, 1976. Clint Longley punching Roger Staubach.
I thought that was during the season. That was training camp?
Yeah, during a practice, Longley cussed Drew Pearson for running the route. Calmly told Longley that it was the quarterback's mistake for overthrowing the pass in the locker room that afternoon.
Wow.
Longley punched Staubach in the face.
He did. That's right. It was training camp. Yeah.
But number one, Brian, it is indeed Quincy Carter.
Yeah, I went out for a jog and came back, and Larry Lacewell goes, you can't believe what we just did. I said, what's that? He goes, we just cut our starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Parcells orchestrated this to get Quincy out of here, is what he did.
Because they wanted to turn it over to Romo?
He wanted Vinny Testaverde.
Oh.
He wanted to turn it over to Vinny Testaverde. And matter of fact, if Quincy would have stayed on the team, Tony Romo would have got cut.
Wow.
That's the way the quarterback situation was.
That's right.
And if he doesn't get cut, Tony Romo is probably cut. But that was the day all of a sudden we just decided, Bill said, we're going to cut this guy. He made up something to get Quincy cut is what he did.
It's a huge what if. What if they'd kept Quincy, let Romo go?
That's a big one.
The entire world would have been different.
Yep.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Okay, coming up next, Chief, where are you taking us?
Sounds of the Sports Day featuring Nick Saban and Luka Doncic. That's next right here on The Fan.
Thank you very much, Lucius. G-Bag Nation here, 105.3 The Fan. The coordinators are talking coming up at 3 o'clock. Okay, so our plan is going to be throw to the podium. We're going to get some Clayton Adams. We're going to get some Eberflus, and it's going to be exciting to get their updated thoughts, especially with new installs and everything happening. So stick around for that. We will have Sam Haggerty coming up at 3:20, and Stephen Jones is coming up 4:20 or 4:30. We're going to ask him all the questions about the contracts and the injuries and his takeaways here for the first week and a half in Oxnard. And here's the Chief with more sports.
Sounds of the Sports Day. We have Nick Saban, we have Coach Prime, and we have Luka Doncic. We're going to go in that order. Here's Nick Saban. He was on, I think he was on Fox News or something. And because the NIL and the collegiate stuff and everything that I guess Trump has laid out.
I think he kind of walked Trump through all that myself.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of been his right hand man on
kind
that.
Kind of the guy, the point man on that. Yeah.
But they asked him the question about returning to coaching because that's been a topic here over the last couple of weeks since the SEC media days. Here was Nick Saban's response.
I never really ever had a thought about getting back into coaching until 2 days ago. Miss Terry said I had to run the sweeper in the entire downstairs. So while I was running the sweeper, the thought occurred to me, when you were coaching, you had a heck of a lot better job than this.
Yeah, it's like everything goes back to his house chores. That Miss Terry, his
he
wife.
He says Miss Terry always gives him a list. When he gets done, he could go do what he wants to do, go play golf or go out to the lake or ride around the boat, you know?
Yeah.
But he has to get done all the list of chores before he can go do that.
That was always like our Saturday family situation. It was like, had to get yard work, whatever. It was always work before you play. That was one of those phrases that I heard about a million times.
I had a buddy who had some of the best parties ever over there and, at his house. And then, it'd be like, it looked like a hand grenade went off. Like, we're all laying all over the floor, all hung over. And the mom would walk in and go, "All right, boys, time for yard work." And there'd be guys literally crawling out the window.
Get me out of here.
Like, I remember one time, like, crawling out the window and then falling, like, on my face and neck down on the ground after crawling out and kind of stumbling over to my car to get out of not having to do yard work. But man, that was bad.
Yeah, that was the best thing that ever happened to my friends was once we were old enough and they had their driver's license.
Yes.
And they could leave.
Because you'd be stuck there.
Yeah. Like middle school in particular and like ninth grade, if I had friends that stayed the night on a Friday night, Saturday morning.
They were doing yard work?
They were doing yard work. Yeah. Absolutely they were.
They started not spending the night. Like, we're good. You can come over to our house maybe.
Yeah, do a little home and home situation.
Yeah, my buddy Dwayne, his dad like built their own house. He had tractors in the backyard sitting on 10 acres. And we get over there and have a heck of a time on Friday. And then you wake up Saturday, 12, 13 years old, and you know what's in store for you. And so we just stopped going.
I don't blame you.
We stopped going until we could drive. Yeah.
There's no question that the run of the mill, like just your standard yard work, the one seed for being the worst is pulling
weeds. The weeds.
100%.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think the worst thing I've ever done for yard work was lay sod. Have you ever done that?
See, no, I have not done that.
Yeah, that's where it's like the big jigsaw puzzle, and now you're like, you're taking the machete and you're cutting the corners and then you're sliding it and then you're dragging it and then, it's just...
It's heavy and dirty.
And you're constantly bent over, and the next day your back, your hamstrings, everything is just wrecked.
Even if you're in your physical prime, the next day you're going to feel that.
Seriously, laying sod is the worst thing I've ever done. Yard wise in my life.
That's a beatdown. That's crazy. Yeah. You've laid sod, but you've really never mowed a lawn.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Pretty next level.
Yeah, my friend of mine asked me, he's like, "Hey, would you help me do this?" And literally it turned into pallets and pallets of this. And so you're trying to kind of fit it all together.
Yeah.
And then, you're taking the machete, you're hacking corners, and it's just dragging like big, heavy pieces of dirt and stuff and across and making them all fit. So your side hurts, your back hurts, shoulders hurt.
Shout out to all the Tolos right now that are listening and laying sod. Yeah. I guarantee you we got a handful.
They're out there.
Yeah, badasses.
That generation of dads is just iconic in their ability to take a honeydew list. Like, I don't know if my generation looks at a honeydew list with any seriousness. We're like, okay, maybe I'll do that next weekend. I got stuff to do, honey. I'll see you in a little bit.
I admire people that can...
disrespect.
I guess. Maybe I'm selfish, but my dad would take a honeydew list and bang that thing out before lunch. No problem. No offense taken. Yeah.
I admire the people that can build things.
Me too.
They can honestly, like, if, like, hey, we need a new shelving, and like, all of a sudden now you're building the shelving and stuff like that. I totally admire stuff like that.
Back to Saban for a second. I think it was Cowherd that was talking about it, but he says, like, the worst kept secret is that the Cleveland Browns are gunning for a Saban Arch Manning combination at some point over the next couple of years. I'm like, could you, maybe that would be the one way, if Arch ends up being everything that, he's hyped up to be, that you could get Nick Saban, one, to want a coach in general, but two, in Cleveland?
He was there.
Getting Saban to Cleveland. Yeah, like, he's been there before, but I can't imagine that's anywhere on the priority list unless Arch is just, oh my gosh, and they can find a way to get Arch to want to be. Like, that's the one way Saban could want it is if Arch is in.
Well,
and if Saban's in, maybe Arch would be like, okay, I'll give this Cleveland thing
a
shot.
Very reminiscent, though, of this guy Bill Belichick and having Brady all those years. Having the quarterback like that's very similar to how you'd want that to play out if you could.
Yeah. It might be a dream job. Saban might have grown up in Cleveland's heyday. He might have been a kid when Jim Brown was young, so he might look like the Browns totally different.
I think he's from West Virginia. He's a West Virginia guy. So,
I know Jimmy Haslam today even talked about, if you know the Manning family, and I don't know Arch at all, but the guy's not coming out for 2 years.
Yeah, that's the pilot. He's pilot trucking, right? I think the pilot, the fuel stops. Like, that's how Haslam make all their money with the fuel stops. And they so they know he's a Tennessee guy. So that's how they got to know the Manning's pretty good, the Tennessee.
Okay, so we have Coach Prime. We have Luca. We'll save those for the hodgepodge because we're running out of time. We got to get to Eberflus. But we also have to get to the worst tattoo in sports history. Okay, so right now on the fan cam, Carter Freeman's going to throw this up. Lucius, I don't know if you've seen this, but I would love for you to get a glimpse of these toes, okay?
I know.
Lucius can appreciate a nice foot. I don't know if this is a foot that will be appreciated, but LaMelo Ball allegedly got his toes tattooed. All red, like fire flames. They're literally Cheetos. They're flaming hot Cheetos. is what he's done. I don't know if they're on both feet because I've only seen the snapshot of one foot, but he now has red toes that go up into fire flames about halfway
probably
up
Jeff
the
Gordon's
top of his
old,
foot.
Old car there, that old disgusting. Yeah, the flames.
it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. They're on the fan cam now. Thank you, Carter Freeman. Lucius, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but I this is the first of its kind, and it's like a bet payoff.
Bro, if this is real, he's got to come out and say something, dog. If this is real, you got to come out and say something.
Hold the presser.
Yeah, you got to hold the presser. You got to make sure you're in sound mind and body.
Yeah. Is he out of real estate or something? Is that like the last place to get one?
What the hell are you doing?
Okay, people.
It's
are
a fun bit, though.
This can't be real, bro.
214 is saying it's a ball sack, so maybe it is. But I mean, that's a foot. I mean, that somebody did that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not LaMelo Ball, but. That is the most ridiculous tattoo I've ever seen.
See, if I was LaMelo Ball, I need a cease and desist then. You got me looking crazy, bro. Yeah. Cease and desist. I want that all taken down. I'm going to run your pockets, too.
Yeah, he's got to get out and make a statement. Yeah,
that's not me, bro.
Like, I'm getting views off my toes.
Was LeBron's cease and desist over the pregnant pictures real? Or did we get ball sacked on that
man,
one?
I mean, at this point, it's hard to even know. But you guys saw those AI videos where he's actually pregnant and he got apparently extremely buttered.
So that part's real?
I think so.
Okay, we got 1 hour down, four to go. The Cowboy coordinators are talking. We'll step aside and come back with hour number two here. Training camp coverage brought to you by the on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. And we're back in the nation.